Smart Farm Learning Hub is a project that we've just had approved for funding by the Office for Learning and Teaching. And really what it's about is about connecting up a whole range of university farms from across Australia and the world with some of the leading precision ag technology companies and their data interfaces, and developing learning modules to enable students from across Australia and the world to have access to real data, real commercial software packages on real working farms, and to enable them to learn a whole range of skills through that.
Talk us through some of this data. We're sitting at this control room at the Smart Farm, huge big screens. We can see data biomass, pasture biomass on one screen. We can see where the sheep are feeding and where they're grazing on another computer. It's quite extraordinary technology. What's to gain by having other people come in and looking at your data and your students looking at other data in, say, Rockhampton?
Yeah, so there's a whole... I mean, we do have a whole range of... commercial and research-based data information systems in front of us at the moment. The real advantage of this is that we can bring a limited number of students out to our farm here physically at Kirby in Armidale, but that's always going to be a limited number. What we're doing with the Smart Farm Learning Hub is actually opening up our farm online to the world globally. So it means for me as an educator, when I'm, say, talking to students about let's look at animal behaviour, and we can look at the animal behaviour from our GPS tracking systems here at UNE on the sheep out in the paddock, and we can see what they're doing. But we can also then jump straight up to Rockhampton, say Central Queensland University, and look at what's actually happening up there with the grazing behaviour of their cows and why aren't they out there grazing, and compare the two. So it opens up, it takes us from just being able to educate in the context of our own backyard to the world. All these other properties across the globe become our laboratory, essentially.
So it's one thing for you to do all your research here and your precision agriculture work, but it's another thing to actually get it into the classroom and into students' heads.
Yeah, it really is. It's a little bit more challenging. You've got to make sure that these systems are stable, because when you hit, say, a cloud-based system like one of the ones we're looking at in front of us now, with 50 students in a laboratory and they're used to having a couple of farmers come online and look at the data, you hit them all of a sudden with a big wad of students that can challenge their system. So you've got to work with the tech companies to make sure that they've got the capacity to cope with that sort of stuff. And also, you don't want students actually getting in and, say, messing up all my data that I've got there. So you've got to enable guest logins and securitisation around that as well.
So is it about a classroom of 50 students all logging in on the one time and having that capability to everybody stay online?
That's part of it. So we run classes, internal classes here, where we have all our students on campus, and we'll actually be wandering around out in the paddock, and they'll be on their iPads or smartphones looking at maps of EM38 soil data streaming in on their mobile device. So they'll all be hitting it at the one time. The alternative approach, which is what we're particularly interested in this, is that people from anywhere in the world can log in. And so I have students, external students, that are logging in from places like Iraq, North America, where it happens to be, and looking at the farm data, what's going on with the biomass, the soil moisture, the animal behaviour, whatever it happens to be, from wherever they are in the world, and completely different time zones at completely different times, in their own time doing those exercises. So.
Speaking of into the future and those technologies that are evolving, how is internet connections evolving? Of course, there's the NBN, but when you're talking about students being not all over Australia but all over the world, how is the technology holding up to have these 50 students log on and have a look at the data at the same time?
Look, that is an excellent point. So we have optic fibre connection to our farm out here, which means we can stream out data at great volumes, but there's always a choke point at the other end. So if you've got a student like I had in South Australia with a limited connectivity, that's the choke point. That slows everything down. So we need to continue to work on that national broadband network and get that operating out in the rural sector properly. So the satellite's going up, and there's some great developments, but we need to see that improved further and further.
These platforms at the moment you're talking about sharing with universities, what about high schools? Is there room in this for modules to go into high schools, ag students?
Yeah, definitely. So actually within the project, we're going to be working with the Primary Industries Education Foundation, who have a mandate to get this sort of these sort of systems into high schools and develop agricultural packages around the curricula. And that's a really big opportunity, I think, for agriculture to expose students at that high school level, and even younger if we can get there, primary school eventually, to the technology in agriculture, because that's the thing that seems to attract them, and they can see that there's a lot more to agriculture than digging just, a fence post hole.
Yeah, just driving a tractor or something like that. So are you saying that the students, the smarter students in these high schools, aren't looking at agriculture? So agriculture is missing out?
To a certain extent, I think so, yeah. We've lost, certainly lost at least some students to other industries. I think that's pretty widely acknowledged, and we've got to really turn that around and get those really bright minds back into our industry.
So you obviously got some pretty cluey students here in Armidale at UNE doing some great work, but you think greater work is on the horizon if you can get that creme de la creme of student?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We need a facility to capture the imagination and the interest of these really bright minds and draw them in. So,
what's the big next step for precision agriculture? What's going to get you excited in the next couple of years?
So there's a whole range of new, for say some of the broadacre industries, a whole range of new satellite platforms coming in, which are really interesting. New positioning systems, so we're working with some of the new Japanese satellite QZSS positioning systems, which will give us really highly accurate positioning without base stations and things like that. But on the livestock sector, which I spend a lot of time in, things like commercial development of real-time GPS tracking systems, that has the potential to just revolutionise our industry and the way we manage our livestock, knowing where our livestock are at any given time and what they're actually doing. Are they in a disease state, a welfare problem state, things like that. So as these technologies roll through and apply to different industries, it's really going to be a very, in some ways, it's going to be a very different way we manage farms into the future.